Please take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 this morning. And the verses we're going to consider together are verses 20 down through verse 33, the end of the first chapter. So let's read these verses together and then we'll pray together. Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Let's pray together. Father, we would ask for your help in this time, as it's through the power of your Spirit that take these simple words on paper and make them come alive to us. And so it's our desire that you would take these words and impress the significance of them on our hearts, so that as simple people we don't remain in our simple-mindedness or our hardness of heart, but so that we respond appropriately and wisely to the calls we receive this morning. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Every morning, I take my daughter to school in Lake Orion. But before I drive out of my garage, I pull out my phone. I check my GPS to see what the best path is to get there. There are a number of ways that I could go. The quickest and preferred way is I-75 south to Lapeer Road, to then head north up Lapeer to Lake Orion. However, as you can imagine, with taking the highway, there are numerous obstacles that come. Sometimes there is, at that hour of the morning, extensive traffic. Sometimes there is an accident or two, as there was this last week. And always there is construction, as you know well. And those obstacles, they frequently direct me in a different direction. I can either take Clarkston Road over to Lake Orion, or I can take Walden Road all the way over to Lake Orion. And sometimes there's accidents on Lapeer Road that I have to choose the more southern route versus the more northern route. Well, I don't want to bore you with all of these details, but the point is this. It's important that before I leave that I check the GPS, because I need to know the best path to my destination. I want to choose the route that has the least amount of obstacles that will get me there the quickest. Now, we're considering this morning Proverbs 1:22 or verse 20-33. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to study through Proverbs chapter 2 as well. And there's a sense in which this passage and next week's passage are presenting us with two paths to choose. We can either choose the path of wisdom, or we can choose the path of foolishness. And as we see these passages and the way they're described for us, they're almost like a GPS in that they tell us, if you take the path of wisdom, here's what you're going to experience, here's what's going to be on that road. But if you take the path of foolishness, here's what you will experience and here's what will be on that road. And so, as people who want to choose the best path to the best destination, it's important for us to become intricately acquainted with what Proverbs says to us. Now, to take another take or a further take on our illustration, choosing the correct road to get to a place is much easier than choosing the path of life. We might say that on the choosing the path of life, during the night while we're sleeping, put up signs, false signs, as you will, that promise health and wealth and success if you go this direction. But really, those signs point to the way of destruction. And what you and I need, as we've considered Proverbs, is we need to be able to put our glasses on and look through the lens of the fear of the Lord so that we're able to discern the signs and what signs are true and what signs are false, and be able to discern which paths lead to success and which paths lead to ruin. And so over the next 2 weeks, we'll consider these two different paths, the path of wisdom and the path of foolishness. Now this week, our passage in chapter 1 sternly warns us of what we will encounter if we choose the path of foolishness. Then next week, our passage will tell us what we will encounter if we choose the path of wisdom. So this week, what happens when we reject wisdom and choose the path of foolishness? Now, before we get into this verse, let's just make a couple of contextual notes about where we are in the book of Proverbs. First of all, we are in the section of the book of Proverbs that is known as the Wisdom Discourses of Proverbs. And the wisdom discourses run from chapter 1 all the way through the end of chapter 9. Once chapter 9 concludes and chapter 10 begins, we then have more the proverbial statements that you are used to seeing in the book of Proverbs. The difference is that the proverbial statements, they are their own individual thought. And if you carry a New International Version, what you'll see in chapter 10 and following is that they give a good amount of space between one proverb and the next to show that these are each individual thoughts within the latter portion of Proverbs. The wisdom discourses, though, are exactly that. They are discourses, lengthy descriptions and pictures of what true wisdom really is. And so there's much more of a context to the wisdom discourses that there isn't to the individual proverbs. The second thing we want to notice about the context here is that we are looking at, in chapter 1 here, the personification of wisdom. You'll notice in verse 20 that wisdom is speaking to us. She is crying out in the street, and perhaps you remember the term from your school days of what personification is. It is giving human characteristics to an inanimate object. And here, wisdom is skill for living in the fear of the Lord, but in this case, it's personified as a woman that is speaking to us and giving truth to us. Wisdom is personified again in chapter 8 and chapter 9, where she is pictured as a lady that Solomon wants his son to be intimately acquainted with, to know wisdom and to know insight. And so that's where we are here in this particular section of the book. Now, as we look at this passage, we want to divide it into four sections. We're going to begin in verses 20 to 23 with wisdom's call. We will then move to verses 24 to 27 with wisdom's call rejected. Then moving to verses 28 to 31, we'll thirdly see wisdom's refusal to answer a call. And then lastly, in the last two verses, we will see wisdom's call concluded. So let's begin then with wisdom's call, verses 20 through 23. Now consider with me again verses 20 and 21. We see that wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So we're introduced to wisdom, personified here as a street preacher with a bullhorn, as you will. And she's yelling out her message in the hopes that some will listen and will turn. And her sermon is described in four speaking verbs in these two verses. She cries out. She raises her voice. She cries aloud. She raises her voice. She cries out. And she speaks. And the point of Solomon wording it like this is to build anticipation of what wisdom has to say to her hearers. The location of her sermon is in the public square. She's pictured as crying out in a busy place where the people are. And again, you see four descriptions. In the streets, in the markets, at the head of noisy streets, and at the entrance of the city gates. If we're going to make a modern day comparison, it would be the equivalent of street preaching in Times Square on New Year's Eve, in the hustle and bustle of life where everybody is. And here she calls above all the people to proclaim the message of wisdom in hopes that some will hear an answer. But, as with most street preaching, it is met with little success. And so what she does then in our passage is she turns to give a scathing rebuke and a scathing reproof of one particular group of individuals who will not heed her message. And this group is the simple. Notice verse 22, we see this. She says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple?" Now this question, we can describe it in a few different ways. It's an urgent question. How long? In other words, you won't be able to continue in your simple ways forever. So when are you going to wake up and make a decision about what you're going to do in life? It's a direct question, directed right at the simple people who are content to love their simple ways. And it's a rebuke. The simple, they're not morally neutral. Rather, they've heard wisdom's call, but unfortunately, they're lagging back and forth, or lagging in their response, because they love their simple ways. And in loving their simple ways, they are vulnerable to the position of being won over by the fool. Now, we've already noted in Proverbs that there is a difference between the simple person and the fool. The simple person is the person who is immature. They are gullible. Yet in spite of their immaturity and their gullibleness, there's still hope for them because they're open to learning. They have not hardened their heart against the Lord as the fool has done. One commentator says this: both wisdom and folly compete for the allegiance of the simple. And until the simple opt to no longer remain uncommitted, they are wayward and they're open to either being led or misled. Led by wisdom, misled by foolishness. Now, because the entire section of that we're looking at here in verses 20 to verse 33 is a rebuke to the simple person, it's important for us and helpful for us to pin down more specifically what the simple person looks like. So let's tease out and get a more vivid picture of what the simple person is. They are the person, young or old, that sits on the fence and vacillates between interest and disinterest in the things of the Lord. They are spiritually immature. Their spiritual condition is lukewarm. Their ultimate destination is yet undetermined. They may turn to the Lord and grow in maturity, or they may pursue the path of foolishness and become hard against the Lord in the way of the fool. In my years as a youth pastor, there were many who were wise, who wanted to live in the fear of the Lord. For those I was always and am thankful. There were also many fools who were hardened against the things of the Lord. But then there were many who could be described as simple, which is common at this particular age. They weren't hardened against the things of the Lord, yet they weren't overly concerned about their spiritual condition either. If I could use the illustration to describe them from the four soils, they would have been like the thorny soil, where the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches had the potential of choking out the word. Some of this group of the simple, some sadly became increasingly hard against the Lord. Some matured into greater godliness and maturity. And others probably today still walk in their simple ways, trying to make up their mind as to what they're going to do with Christ. Now let's not make this simply about teenagers, for there are many adults, both young and old, who sit in our church and are content with their spiritual immaturity, never moving forward in their walk with the Lord, satisfied with enough spirituality to get them into the door of salvation, but desiring no more than that. These individuals, their lives are marked by little spiritual interest, few godly relationships, infrequent church attendance, and very little exposure to God's word, either personally or corporately. Now, they'll tell you that they are a genuine believer, but the fruit of these individuals seems to be lacking. And it's to these individuals that Proverbs warns so clearly. Those who are simple and satisfied to be there. If this is you this morning, then this passage is for you. If these characteristics that I've described, if they mark you, then you need to hear Proverbs' warning this morning. Now, lest this message just be about somebody else, okay? We all need the warnings that are given here. Because, as the hymn goes, we are all prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. And so we all face the temptation to cease from living in the fear of the Lord and to cease from walking in wisdom. And so we need these words as well. We need to hear the warning of wisdom this morning. But there's a particular call to the simple, because the simple are in a very dangerous position of rejecting the wisdom that is offered in pursuing the way of the fool. The simple cannot remain in their simple state forever. They will either move on to maturity or they are in danger of moving into the category of the fool. Now, let's look at verse 22 more closely. And what we see in verse 22 is this question: how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? What we see is that in this scathing rebuke to the simple, that the message to the simple is in the second person, but the message to the scoffers and the fool is in the third person. So in the second person, how long will you love your simple ways? But to the scoffer and the fool, how long will they love their foolishness and their scoffing? And that's because we've said that Proverbs is written to the simple to give them understanding, to give them wisdom. But until the person who's the fool enters through the gate of the fear of the Lord, they cannot receive the warnings that Proverbs has given them. Now, there are two words used in this passage. There is the word scoffer, and there is the word fool. Sometimes in your translations, you'll have the word mocker. These are the two strongest words in the book of Proverbs for those who resist the Lord. We might say that the scoffer is a particular kind of fool, because not only is he hardened against the Lord and rejects the Lord, but he also finds his pleasure in mocking the things of the Lord. He's not just hardened against the Lord, but he finds the things of the Lord an absolute joke. And that's the scoffer and the fool. Well, what then does wisdom call to the simple in this passage? Well, that brings us to verse 23. She says, "If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you." In other words, we could sum it up in one word. Wisdom says to the simple, if you will turn, which is the biblical concept of repentance. What wisdom is calling for is for the simple to cease from their simple-minded ways, repent of their sin, and to turn back to the Lord. This is exactly what is needed for those who walk in the simple-minded ways. Repentance. To humbly come before the Lord and say, Lord, I have not been living for you as I should. And in doing so, I'm in the very dangerous position of slipping into the state of the fool, where my heart becomes hardened against you. So help me, Lord, to walk in the fear of the Lord and in wisdom. And if we come to the Lord with that type of humility and that type of repentance, we see in verse 23 what's promised. She says, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. What spirit is that? The spirit of wisdom. And I will make my words known to you. What words? The words of wisdom. So for those who turn back to the Lord, what is promised is a life of wisdom. Now this is then wisdom's call. But we move secondly into wisdom's call rejected. Wisdom's call rejected. Look with me in verses 24 to 27. Because I have called and you refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. So the proper response to wisdom's call is repentance. But notice how many of the simple-minded actually respond. It says in verse 24 that they refuse to listen. They're not innocent. They willfully reject biblical wisdom. Furthermore, we see that wisdom holds out her hand, but they spurn it. It's the picture of extending your hand to help someone up, and they refuse to be helped and aided by you. This is the response that many of the simple have to wisdom. There are two more lines that describe the wisdom's rejection, or the fool's, or the simple's rejection of wisdom here. They ignore her counsel and they do not accept her correction. In other words, they think wisdom is old and out of touch, and so there is no reason then to heed it. Wisdom is for fools, they ironically shout. Now notice then verses 24 and 25. That they lay the foundation for the consequences of verses 26 and 27. Okay, so 24 and 25, they reject the wisdom that's offered. And then what we find in verses 26 and 27 is that there are consequences for their response. There's an old saying that goes something like this: hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. It's an old expression that basically refers to the wrath of a woman who has been betrayed by the one that she loves. You do not want to stand in the path of that particular woman. Perhaps the pinnacle illustration of this would be like when a teenage guy breaks up over with his girlfriend over text message. All right. You do not want to face the wrath of that teenage girl. Oh, the fury. I would just say as a side note to teenage boys, don't ever break up with your girlfriend over text message. All right. That's not, make sure your friend texts her instead. That would be the much wiser approach. All right. That's Proverbs 32. All right. So hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And this is something of the picture of 26 and 27, because look at 26 and 27. She says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. She's not mourning over their rejection of wisdom. She's not grieving over it. Rather, she will laugh. This language is like Psalm 2, as the Lord laughs at his enemies and those who come against him. She will laugh at the calamity that befalls the simple. And calamity is exactly what comes to those who pursue the path of the fool and reject wisdom. One commentator says it this way: the outcome for rejecting wisdom is not a lifetime of uncomplicated and innocent simplicity, but rather of calamity and terror. Proverbs 14:12 says it this way: "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And many of the simple, they look at life and they say, yeah, this seems like the path to go. This seems like the right destination. But the end is the way of death. Not following the path of wisdom inevitably results in calamity and ruin. So we need to mark the words of the proverb, that it doesn't go well for the person who doesn't walk in wisdom. Now, most of the time, the negative consequences show up in this life for the person who doesn't live in wisdom. And all we have to do is look at the world around us and see the connection between not walking in wisdom and the consequences that happen from not walking in wisdom. For some people, life seems to go well, but then we're guaranteed of this, that if we don't walk in wisdom, that ultimately God's justice will be had, and there will be consequences for not walking in the fear of the Lord and of wisdom. This is actually what we see, because rejecting wisdom is actually rejecting the Lord, as verse 29 tells us, that you did not live in the fear of the Lord. So this is then wisdom's call rejected. So wisdom calls, and then wisdom's call rejected. Now we move to the third point in our notes. We see that wisdom's refusal to answer a call. Verses 28 through 31. Just look with me at verse 28. 28 says this: "Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me." Okay, so in verse 28, it begins with the word "then." And there seems to be an unfolding of a sequence of events in verse 28. First, wisdom has called to the simple. Second, the simple has refused her counsel. Third, things didn't go well for the simple as they had hoped. And so now fourthly, they then call for wisdom, but wisdom does not answer. Now notice an interesting thing about verse 28. We see the word "they." No longer is this passage addressing the simple in the second person, like in verse 22, now it's addressing the third person, because the simple, in rejecting wisdom, has now moved into the category of the fool. In my notes, I circled verse 22 and I circled verse 28 and I drew a line to it and I wrote this: "The danger of remaining simple is that if they persist, they will become a fool themselves." And this is exactly what's taking place here. This is a parallel passage to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, three times we see this phrase that God gave them up in their sinfulness. Man, wanting to persist in his own sin, became so hardened against God that as a punishment for sin, all God had to do was remove the restraints and let them pursue their sin headlong along with its consequences. Sometimes all God has to do to punish sin is take his hands off and allow people to have what they want. And in that case, they feel the full brunt of the consequences of their sin. And this is what's happening here. The simple, who is now a fool, is feeling the consequences of rejecting wisdom. And he doesn't like the consequences, so now he determines, I should probably seek for wisdom. And he does so. Verse 28 says he does so diligently, or we could say frantically, in an attempt to get out from underneath the consequences that he is experiencing. Oh, but it is too late. And here's why it's too late. Because wisdom isn't something we just put on and take off like a jacket. Wisdom is built consistently over time, like a building built on the fear of the Lord. So he cannot find the wisdom he needs. The sad reality of many people is that they don't begin to seek the Lord until after they've experienced the consequences of living in sin. And what's even sadder is that when they do decide to seek the Lord or do decide to seek wisdom, they're not actually seeking for the Lord. They just want a different set of consequences. They don't actually want to live in the fear of the Lord. Now notice the irony of verse 28. In the whole passage, it begins with wisdom calling and the simple not answering. And now the irony is, the simple who has become the fool, he is calling and wisdom is not answering. Wisdom will not listen. Now let's just be clear for a minute to describe what we're saying. I don't want to give the impression at all that the Lord is not patient, okay? The Lord is a patient God who will forgive all who come to Him in humble repentance. Okay, God is the God of second chances, of third, fourth, fifth, and even tenth chances. Okay, so we want you to recognize that God is a patient God. For all those who will humbly come to Him, He will forgive. But notice this, that even though God's a patient God, our time to repent is limited. That is, the opportunity will not be there forever. Sometimes people think, well, I'll just repent later as I get older. But what happens is, the longer we persist in our simple-mindedness, the less sensitive we are later on. And God removes the restraints and allows us to pursue our sin like we wanted. And so when we thought at that age we would repent, we've at that age become more hardened and less sensitive to the things of the Lord. So what this passage does for us is it brings a certain amount of urgency to recognize our spiritual condition and to repent while the Lord has given us the opportunity. Not to presume upon His patience, but to turn to Him while there is time. The urgency of this passage should move us to more, not less concern over our spiritual condition. And so we must come to the Lord and repent rather than continuing in our hardness of heart. Now, there are three reasons in this passage, in verses 29 to 30, of why the simple, who is now the fool, will call for wisdom and wisdom will not hear. These are strong words that wisdom gives. Now, let's just notice these three reasons. First of all, verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Okay, so the reason why wisdom is not responding to them now is because they did not, earlier when wisdom was calling, they decided to reject the fear of the Lord and reject wisdom. Now, verse 29 should sound very familiar because it is almost a repeat word for word of the theme verse of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. But now the fool's facing his consequences for his choices because he didn't live in the fear of the Lord and because he despised wisdom and knowledge. The second reason we see in verse 30 is that they would have none of wisdom's counsel and despise all of her reproof. And there is again that word despise. Just like Proverbs 1:7, that fools despise wisdom and instruction, this is exactly the case. They have not wanted anything to do with her, and they have despised all that she is about. The last reason, then, we see in verse 31, is that they are eating the fruit of their way and having the fill of their own devices. So here we have the image of sowing and reaping. The seeds of rejecting wisdom were sown way back when wisdom was calling in the first place. And now, after rejection for some time, and the person has been hardened in their foolishness, now are they reaping the fruit of having sown the seeds of rejecting wisdom back here. And notice what verse 31 says, that they are having their fill of their own desires. Here, what one author says is, they are getting exactly what they wanted. They wanted godless autonomy, and now that is exactly what they have, only they realize now they need something more. But it is too late. Now, I have sat in my ears with people in this exact situation, where sin's consequences are being revealed. that in our conversations they're experiencing the fruit of rejecting wisdom long before this day. And can they turn back to God? Absolutely. And will God forgive them? Yes. But the fruit that they're reaping are the consequences from sowing seeds of rejecting wisdom. And those consequences are very, very difficult. And on some level, in some conversation, we need to say, well, recognize that the things you're facing are a result of seeds sown a long time ago. And we're reaping now the fruit of rejecting wisdom. And I don't share this at all to discourage those who, in some sense, are facing the consequences, but to warn those who are in the seed planting stage. That is, if people could, who are facing the consequences of their sin right now, if they could stand up before you and they could tell you your stories, here's what they'd say. Don't do what I did. Rather, sow in wisdom. Heed the words of wisdom. So that when it comes time to reap the fruit, you're not reaping the fruit of the consequences of sin. Here's what they'd say, just like Solomon said. Fear the Lord and walk in obedience to Him. Because this is the whole duty of man. Solomon, as he lived through all the consequences of his sin, and as the kingdom was ripped apart after him, he would say, friends, what you need to do is listen to Lady Wisdom and all that she has to say. This is the only path of peace and security. Well, this brings us lastly then to wisdom's call concluded. Verses 32 and 33. She concludes this whole statement by saying, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. The simple turn from the call of wisdom and they are killed by it. That is the path of ruin. The fool, now they continue to be complacent in their foolishness, never really bothered, comfortable as they want to be. But for those who listen to wisdom, there is security, there is safety, there is life, there's freedom from dread and disaster. We'll elaborate on this idea next week, but suffice to say, the only path worth pursuing is the path of wisdom. For it's the only path that leads to the results of joy and peace and a God-centered contentment. Okay, so we've turned on our GPS, all right? And we've looked at the path of rejecting wisdom. And on that path, there is extensive traffic. There are numerous accidents. And there is construction until the end of all time. Now, no one in their right mind would look at that map and say, I'm going down that road. All right. As I pull my GPS out in the morning and I see a red line all down I-75, I don't think, maybe I'll go I-75 this morning. No, I say, what I'm going to do, I'm going to avoid that particular road. That's the wise thing to do. So we pulled out our GPS in a sense and we've looked at what the path of rejecting wisdom's counsel leads to. So we've all been warned that we should turn from our simple ways and say, there's no way I'm going down that path. God help me pursue the spirit of wisdom. And to listen to wisdom's counsel and insight. For that is the only path that promises life. Friends, let this passage speak to you. Take a spiritual inventory of where you are in relationship to God. And if you find yourself in immaturity, wavering back and forth between interest and disinterest in the things of the Lord, and you're marked by a general lack of spiritual maturity, you cannot continue in that state or you are open to the path of the fool. So friend, listen to these words from Proverbs. The warning of rejecting the path of wisdom, and turn to her this morning. Turn to the fear of the Lord and walk in wisdom and obedience. Let's pray together.